The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Cowboys, where the D in Big D stands for doomed. The news keeps on getting worse. Are they going to get blown out on opening night? Meanwhile, Tampa Tom's most talented teammate says one thing that should scare everybody else to death. Just wait until you hear this. Plus, Drew Brees, his first big statement as an analyst. Wait till you hear which quarterback he thinks is headed towards becoming a star. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now on a Tuesday. Hope you had a terrific weekend. The Big Swagoo is back.
What's up, people? What's up, my people?
What did I do to get so lucky? 2 days in a row with Marcus Spears in the studio. But we got another big fella ready to grapple with you today. Saturday is coming after you. Jeff Darlington is breaking news today. We have a ton to get to, and let's do it. We start with Get Up and Go with all the news from your busy night in sports, beginning at the U.S. Open, where Novak Djokovic advanced to the quarters after pulling away to beat 99th-ranked American Jenson Brooksby. Djokovic keeping alive his hopes for the first calendar year Grand Slam by a male player since 1969. Elsewhere, playing without their head coach Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss put up 569 yards and romped over Louisville 43-24. Quarterback Matt Corral throwing for nearly 400 yards and two touchdowns. Kiffin was home after testing positive for COVID last week. And the Rays rallied from a six-run deficit to take down the Red Sox at Fenway. Austin Meadows, a huge game-tying inside-the-park home run in the ninth. With the Yankees losing again, Tampa now leads the American League East by a commanding 8.5 games. And that sets the stage for this. We are 2 days in counting to kickoff Thursday night, and what an offseason it has been. For the Dallas Cowboys, you know about Dak Prescott after the ankle fracture last year. This offseason being marred by the shoulder strain. He is, however, expected to be a full go Thursday night. Ezekiel Elliott coming off a year where he posted a career low in rushing yards, a career high with four lost fumbles. All eyes will be on him as well. And COVID playing a huge role around the league already. The Bucs, who host Dallas on Thursday, have just activated Ndamukong Suh from the COVID list. Zach Martin is on that list. Jerry Jones not giving up.
I'm still the guy that want him. He's going to be testing right up until game time, and maybe we can get a couple of negative tests out of him. He can get two negatives over the next couple of days, then he could play. Don't hold out for that. So, I'm always looking for that pony in there somewhere. He's arguably the best player. Best of what? The best player. And you go in a game against the world champions, not have your best man there, that's a setback.
And there's so much to unpack there. There's nothing better than when Jerry asks him and answers his own question. But that said, I mean, Jeff Darlington, let's just start with what he said. Is there right. a world in which Zach Martin might play on Thursday night?
Yeah, Jerry Jones's world, but that's it. And I know he is a very powerful man, but this one time it ain't happened. He is the ultimate romantic. Look, Mike McCarthy, the head coach, made it very clear as well. He even said, yes, I would rule out Zach Martin at this point. Keep in mind that he'd have to be asymptomatic for 48 hours and then have two negative tests for 24 hours apart. He still is not there yet. He had loss of taste on Saturday as well as mild flu-like symptoms. So yes, while Jerry Jones obviously holding out hope, the rest of us can say that Zach Martin will not play in that Thursday opener.
Okay, fair. And so I just want to give everyone a sense, because Jeff Saturday and I were talking this morning, how would you describe just how good, if people talk about, oh, he's their best player, how would you describe just how good he is, Jeff?
Zach Martin is the Patrick Mahomes of guard. So understand how understand how valuable he is as a player. I mean, this guy is by far their best offensive player. That includes Prescott, Zeke Elliott. Keep naming them in. Like, this is a dude. Think about the last two seasons. He had 627 pass blocking opportunities, three sacks. You want to talk about putting a guy out there and having no concern? That is the guy. And now you're talking about the Bucks, who they're going to have to play, who can beat you at a number of different positions. You would love to have that guy in there, turn a blind eye to him and be able to help other players. That's the biggest loss you can have. Listen, if there was any player they wouldn't want to lose, or any position they wouldn't want to lose, it's that one for this particular game because of what Tampa does up front and with their blitz package.
Yeah, just ask Mahomes what it's like going up against Tampa without your offensive line intact. Right. We saw that in the Super Bowl. So, Swagoo, I like to needle you because you're the Cowboy and you love them and you represent all Cowboy fans who always think they're winning the Super Bowl. But they're going to get blown out Thursday night, aren't they?
No, hell no, they're not going to get thrown out. And I don't know why you're starting with me this early this morning. First of all, these are huge, right? This is huge. What Jeff just talked about with Zach Martin. But the bottom line is, there's a team still in Dallas with a quarterback that understands the situation that he's in. I'm not just going to come on television and say because this guy is lost, a blowout is happening. We saw Dallas with Dak Prescott and these weapons almost mount comebacks last year with having an abysmal offensive line. So, no, I'm not going there to say they're going to get blown out. I think they're going to lean heavily on this run game, and they're going to move the pocket with Dak, right? Like Jeff, I see you shaking your damn head, but this is the bottom line. If Kellen Moore goes into this game Thursday and he thinks that Dak is going to take 3 and 5 step drops and stand in the middle of the pocket, just go ahead and forfeit the damn football game right now, right? So we're going to get an early test on Dak's ankle, because he better be rolling out. He better be moving this pocket and trying to figure out how to create a little bit more time with Zach Martin missing. G, you already know I'm in my feelings about Zach Martin.
Yeah,
it's 8:06. We're 6 minutes into the show, and you, Jeff Saturday, and I know Jeff Darlington, little smart tail, got something to say. All y'all want to be against me today. I'm fine with it. We play Thursday. I'm going to go with it. But we're going to talk about other stuff in this show than the Cowboys, in your words, getting blown out.
Yeah, I wouldn't guarantee that. Go ahead, Jeff Saturday.
Listen, what I've just realized is Swagoo, very similar to Jerry, is a man of prayer, because that's what they're going to be in.
See this thing?
This thing ain't a blowout. I'm going to let y'all all know the rollout. This man ain't even practiced. Dak Prescott hadn't taken any hits. Nothing, bro. Like, I love where you are, Swagoo. Hang on with him, baby. Hang on with him. But it's going to be ugly come Thursday unless Zach Martin can
come
back.
You make me sick. You make me sick, Jeff Saturday.
Did Jerry say that there might just be a pony in there? Like, what does that even mean? Did he just make that up, or is that an expression I'm just have lived 54 years?
He just made that up. Only Jerry know what that means.
Right? He's just talking to Steve, getting a word in with Stephen A. and Michael Irvin, and somehow managed to say that. He just invented an entirely new euphemism.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem with me working here now.
What?
I not only got to deal with y'all about the Cowboys, like everybody, then I get Jerry on here saying stuff that ain't going to happen, and crazy stuff nobody can understand. And I got to go back to Dallas and try to decipher all of this to come back and tell y'all something that makes some damn sense. But none of it does.
All right. First subject down. The Cowboys are going to get worked on Thursday night. Next up, let's do some more or less looking towards this season. And Jeff Saturday, I will start with you. Tom Brady, is he going to throw more or less than 37 touchdown passes this season?
More, and not even close. I think he gets close to 50. Think about O.J. Howard's coming back. You got Brake, Gronk. Now think about all the wide receivers. And Antonio Brown, who's going to be with the team for the entire season. You obviously know about Evans and Godwin. This team is going to be lights out throwing the ball around. 37 is low, in my opinion. He's going over that, Greeny.
All right, Jeff Darlington, let's talk about touchdowns for Gronk and Antonio Brown. More or less than 13 combined for the two of them.
I mean, combined, absolutely more than 13. That's a no-brainer right now. These guys are going to come out with the type of chemistry that they left off with at the end of last season. Antonio Brown and Tom Brady had not yet had the opportunity to create the chemistry they believe they can. These two guys are going to come back with a vengeance this year. I believe absolutely more than 13. AB might get more than 13, and then a little bit on top from Gronk.
All right, and thus, Swagoo, just how good is this team going to be? More or less 12 wins, again, a 17-game schedule.
Yeah, it'll be more wins. Continuity. Jeff just alluded to how these guys start to come along. They won 8 straight games down the stretch. At the end of the season, they understand who they are. We watched them go through a process of figuring out who they were throughout the rest of the season last year. Now they understand that fully. And the unfortunate part is they'll only need 11 after Thursday.
Even Swagoo acknowledges that. Look, the Bucks are going to be better based upon a lot of different factors. And don't take it from me. Take it from Mike Evans, who was talking about how far along this offense is right now compared to a year ago at this time. Listen.
We're miles ahead of where we were last year. Not just me and his connection, but the whole team, the whole offense. I mean, it's really exciting, and hopefully we can do something really special this year.
I wish you had heard Swagoo when he started talking. He went, oh, my goodness. Now, here's a Buccaneers offense that is going to be way better. A Cowboys defense that we hope will be better, but they were just atrocious last year. The Cowboys have all these injuries. Let's talk about Tampa, though, because here's what I want to bring up. Jeff Saturday, I remember once upon a time, you were on a team that should have gone unbeaten, certainly had a chance to go unbeaten,
yes, sir.
The organization made some decisions that took that aside. Tom Brady, the one thing he's never accomplished in his career is an unbeaten season. And you know what eats at him? He said during this offseason he would trade 2 of his Super Bowl rings for an unbeaten year.
Oh.
Do you think this Buccaneers team makes a run at it?
I do not. Listen, I wish they would. I think Bruce Arians and this entire organization in Tampa understands the goal of hoisting another Lombardi trophy. And as much as we as players, because I totally agree with Tom Brady, you've heard me talk about when Bill benched the offense and let us lose that game to the Jets, it crushed me inside, and it still hurts me to this day. So I understand what Brady is talking about going undefeated. But Bruce Arians, he's about hoisting trophies. They got that feeling. They understand they will protect their guys down the stretch in a 17-game season. He ain't gonna let it happen.
See, I think Brady might have something to say about that, Jeff Darlington. Teddy Bruschi told a story here on this show recently where he said that during that year where the Patriots are going for it, he said he and Brady went to Bill Belichick and said, let's just make sure we're all on the same page here. Don't take us out. We want to go for this. And I think Brady would want to here, Jeff Darlington. What do you think?
No question. Not even a question in my mind. If we're talking about this at the end of the season, he's going to stay in the game. I don't buy at all that he will rest himself or expect them to rest any starters as well. But Bruce Arians' system is not exactly the type that is created to win every game. I mean, if they get behind in games, this was a frustration at times last year, Bruce Arians thinks that he can score 14 points with one pass. So he's not exactly the type that chips away at a lead and finds a way to get back in it. He's going to get blown out at times based on the way that his system, his no risk it, no biscuit system goes. I just don't think they're going to be in a position that we're talking about where they could potentially rest the starters. I think they're going to have a loss or two throughout this year.
What do you think, Swagoo?
I think as you slowly creep and you start to realize, you know, we got 9 wins with a 0 behind it. We got 10 wins with a 0 behind it. Your mindset starts to change. And I think that's what they have to go through.
Yeah.
To go into the season looking for an undefeated season, and Jeff alluded to it, it's a scornness about all NFL players. We all think we're going to win every game we play in, but that's just not the reality of this league. But I think with a team like this, especially with a 44-year-old quarterback, that if he gets to 12-0 or 13-0, then the whole season becomes about going undefeated. But you got to get to a certain point first before you start determining if you're going to really make a play at it. And I think the freedom is in that, G. Because if you go into the season with pressure talking about being undefeated, you lose sight of the fact that ultimately we're supposed to hoist the Lombardi at the end of the season. But as you get closer and you start to lean in it, and when you think about New England season, when they were going undefeated, that's when the conversation started happening. When they got to a certain point, that's when Teddy Bruschi and Tom Brady said, yo, this is realistic. But going into it thinking that sometimes is just, I mean, it's a lot for a team that is looking like they can accomplish another Super Bowl.
To begin with, Brady may be looking ahead to week 4. That is when he makes his return to Foxborough. Meanwhile, we are just getting rolling today. So jam-packed we are. Coming up, Drew Brees made his first big statement as an analyst. Wait till you hear which quarterback he thinks is on the fast track to NFL stardom. That is on the way. Plus, you're not going to want to miss this. Jeff Saturday handing out pancakes from week one of the college football season. Oh, it's Lord. Sat him down, and it's next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Hulu's Wu-Tang, an American Saga. New season streaming this Wednesday, only on Hulu. Sat Him Down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? 1 pancake, 2 pancakes, 3 pancakes. Ooh!
Just the open makes everybody laugh. This is Jeff Saturday handing out pancakes, this time college style. Take it away, Jeff.
Oh, I can't wait. I almost did a UCLA LSU tape, Greeny, but I held off because I knew we would get into Swagoo
what
about the Cowboys.
This
but let's move on. Let's move on to some real play. We're going to start with Georgia right here. Jamari Salyer. Look at this right here. Puts him down, but look at the aggressiveness once he's on the ground. He is bulldogging. Oh. That dude sees him on the ground. He ain't stopping right there, Swagoo. I'm going to finish him. I'm going to gore him, baby. Show him what's up. Make him want to quit the rest of the afternoon. That's a nasty little play right there for my man, Salyer. 1 pancake for a way to start it. Now we got my man, Neil. Listen right here from Alabama. I love University of Alabama offensive line. Played the best of everybody. Always. No. Watch this shot right here. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
hey, listen, make sure everybody understands what that is called, a platter of ribs, because that's what he just took off right there, my man. He laid that thing out, so you know what he did. I'm giving him 2 pancakes for the platter he set up. And let me assure you, that dude from Miami told his coach, I ain't rushing back out there again, man. I'm straight lining that guard, no more. That's 2 pancakes. And 3, listen, Ohio State had a nasty one. This is my favorite one. Look at him lay on him. This is my favorite part. Whipler does a nice job finishing, but he ain't done. He's going to lay on him, so his entire team, everybody on both sidelines, watches me just lay on him, looking down, looking around. Hey, everybody look here. We know what we just did. We set it on him, and we're running a rock right through where I blocked. 3 pancakes for the intimidation and because both sidelines got to see that.
See, that's when the fights happen. That's when the fights happen right there. That's, you know it, Jeff. That's when the when y'all lay on us, that's when the fights happen. You're doing too damn much. Get up, man. You done blocked me already.
Extra syrup this morning.
That's why I got 3.
Jeff Saturday with the pancakes. Outstanding. All right, on to the next order of business. From the pancakes to the Big Mac, we got rookie Mac Jones beating out Cam Newton for the starting quarterback job in Patriots camp. He'll take on Tua and the Dolphins on Sunday. Drew Brees, who, as you know, is now an analyst at NBC, thinks Mac Jones is set up to succeed in New England after slipping in the draft. He said, "The minute the Patriots took Mac Jones at 15, I said, that's the steal of the draft. It's probably the guy who is most ready to play NFL quarterback right now of all the guys who were taken before. I think Mac Jones is going to have the most success of any rookie quarterback, not just this year, but probably for the next few years," which is an interesting thing, obviously, for him to say. And Jeff Darlington, I know that it sort of brought an interesting thought across your mind as well.
I'm not blaming Drew Brees. I actually agree with him here, except for the fact that, and it's not about him, it took 4 months for us to go from screaming about the fact that the 49ers were going to spend the third overall pick on Mac Jones and feeling what a jump, a leap of faith that was, to now we're calling him the steal of the draft. Like, 4 months, a couple preseason games, and now all of a sudden the guy literally is Tom Brady.
That's a really good point, but you know what it actually is? It is a perfect illustration of something that I've always said, Swagu, and that is more young quarterbacks are ruined than developed in the NFL. It's about the situation. If he was drafted number two by the Jets or if he was drafted by the Bears, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but he's in the perfect situation.
And, gee, that's why I had the visceral reaction to San Francisco. It wasn't that we acknowledged that Mac Jones could play. Mm-hmm. It was just at three, he didn't do anything to change the dynamic of the San Francisco 49ers. Like, this is why, think about this context, y'all. This is why Bill Belichick didn't want to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, he saw what he sees in Mac Jones. Mm. Like, these guys. So that's why the San Francisco Kyle Shanahan wants Mac Jones just didn't register to me, because I felt like you were drafting the same guy. So now you put him in this situation, which a lot of us here thought that this was the best place to go. It's like walking out of your house, G, into a room at your dorm in college, and your mom has that room looking exactly like the room you just left. Mm-hmm. That's what Mac Jones walked into. It's the same type of philosophy, same type of offense. Now, his receivers might have been better at Alabama than the receivers he has now. But with that being said, two tight end system, wants to run the football, a coach that values protecting the football. You're supported by a great defense. And people were like, oh, Swagoo hating on Mac Jones. And no, it's... To your point, situations matter so much in the NFL, especially with these guys, and you can insulate them. Look no further than Pittsburgh, what Big Ben walked into.
How good is he going to be, Jeff? How good, at the end of the day, is Mac Jones and are the Patriots going to be this year?
Oh, he'll push for offensive rookie of the year. Listen, this kid's going to play in a system just like Swagoo and Jeff said that fits him perfectly. And I've played against these guys 14 years. They develop better than anybody in the NFL. Like, we can talk about where you get drafted, all those kinds of things, but here's the bottom line. Once they become a Patriot, they are going to be better in week 18 than they were in week one. I played against Vince Wilfork, his first game ever, right? He comes in place. I play him at the end of the season. He's a completely different player. He's calling out formations. He's telling Teddy where he should move to. He's singing, recognizing formations. Like, the development the Patriots push in their organization is second to none. That's why Mac Jones will be the quarterback we're talking about, because of it is the fit that Swagoo and Greeny, you just mentioned.
Yep, it is the situation as much as it is anything. All right, we'll leave that there for the moment. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Absolutely.
As we continue in just a moment. Coming up, according to ESPN's playoff simulator, there's one team in the AFC ready to take out the Chiefs this postseason. You'll find out which team it is next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up, and Jeff Darlington, let's run the hurry up through some news, beginning with more trouble in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, this is just brutal. Justice Hill now with a torn Achilles, out for the season. This just 5 days removed from J.K. Dobbins, their starting running back, going down. So all of a sudden now, You've got Gus Edwards basically carrying the load for the Ravens. They will look toward other players. They brought in Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. We'll find out if they sign one of those veterans. But at this point, the Ravens just dealing with one hit after another. Mark Andrews, the tight end for the Ravens, at least some good news for a team with their star tight end getting a four-year extension. Makes him the third highest paid tight end in the NFL. So, hey, you might not have running backs, but at least you have a very successful tight end to catch passes from Lamar Jackson this upcoming season. Now, no surprise here, but Tyrod Taylor gets the starting nod for the Houston Texans, while Deshaun Watson remains the inactive quarterback for the team. Tyrod Taylor, all of camp, has been taking the reps with the first team, while Deshaun Watson has not been participating in those team drills. So it will be Taylor getting the nod from Houston, and we will continue to wait and see what happens with Deshaun Watson in the meantime. Greeny?
All right. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so that's just an interesting look at that. The Texans obviously starting the season, in most people's view, with low expectations. In the meantime, let's look at some of the top teams in the AFC, because it should be a lot of fun this year. And we got some great matchups to start the season off. First off, we have the Bama Bowl. Mac Jones and Tua, Crimson Tide teammates. They'll play in Miami, or when Miami travels to Foxborough, I should say, to play the Patriots. Another great AFC matchup week one, the Steelers and Bills. Josh Allen and Buffalo, what could be the beginning of the last ride for Big Ben. We'll see the debut of the first-round pick, Najee Harris. That's a fascinating game.
Sneaky.
But then the best of all, we got a rematch of last year's playoff game when the Browns go to Arrowhead to see Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Kansas City looking to bounce back from a Super Bowl loss. That could easily be a preview of an NFL playoff game. And speaking of previews, our FPI simulated the upcoming season, and these are the fascinating results that we got. Take a look. We have the Browns beating Kansas City in the divisional round, and then Buffalo beating Cleveland in the AFC Championship game and advancing on to the Super Bowl. Again, that's after they play this thing over 1,000 times and any number of different ways that it can go. But the interesting piece of this to me,
they can play that damn thing 2,000 more times. did that mean the Chiefs was only going to score 12 points?
That's what it said, yes.
Well, that's a lie. That's a lie.
Maybe that was the score at the end of the first quarter. I don't know, but that's what we got. That's what was written up on the piece of paper that was handed to me. You don't buy it. You're not buying anybody.
I don't have a problem with the Browns beating the Chiefs, but 20-12 to score? But what? That's like the BCS used to be. Stupid.
So that is sort of setting the table for the question. But the question is, which team is best suited to finally dethrone Kansas City? We've been talking about the Chiefs as being a little bit of a dynasty, and it certainly looks like they could be. They've been in back-to-back Super Bowls, and they are the favorite to make it to this one. Jeff Saturday, I'll start with you. Which team in the AFC, in your view, is the biggest threat to knock them out this year?
Yeah, it's the Browns. And I agree, it's going to be 20-12, but they will be the team if there's a team in the AFC that will unseat them. Like, when you think about the Browns and their defense, I think their defense last year was ranked 19th or something like that. They've improved on the defensive backfield with Hill and Johnson coming over from the Rams, and they add Jadeveon Clowney to help Garrett pass rush, which we know is going to be an issue. And listen, when you're talking about the Chiefs and basically a right side that's starting all rookies, I think when you look at this team, you can do it. And never mistake, offensive line for the Browns will control that game. The Chiefs defense will not match up well. They can run the ball. Baker Mayfield can exploit it down the field and play action if they do control the line of scrimmage. They are built to beat the Chiefs. If you're looking at a team on a roster and say, hey, how are they built? This is a team that would be built to give the Chiefs a ton of problems.
So, Jeff Darlington, if I say the Browns have gotten a lot better, what do you say?
I say we keep forgetting. Remember the Titans? Remember the Titans. What is going on here with this roster we're talking about with the Browns? Look at what the Titans have done the past several years. And also, by the way, look at the fact that they added Julio Jones. I just keep wondering when we're going to start to talk about the Titans as a team in the hunt. Not necessarily the Browns to potentially beat the Chiefs, who apparently, according to ESPN simulations, Mahomes will have to play with handcuffs behind his back and will not be able to use his arms. But look, I still think the Titans deserve to be in the conversation as a real favorite in the AFC. The Titans and the Bills, to me, are 1A and 1B, or 2A, 2B.
Titans, Bills, and then the Browns, and we will see. How about you, Swaggy? Who's the biggest threat?
It's the Browns. I understand what Jeff Darlington is saying, but I believe what Cleveland did last year, identity-wise, tells us that. And it really is all about what Jeff Saturday said. If they control the line of scrimmage, here's the thing you got to do to the Chiefs, all right? If you had a dream of keeping them to 12 points, you better keep the damn football from an offensive standpoint. And that's something the Chiefs – I mean, that's something the Browns can do. They can bleed you with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and the screen game and the quick passing game from Baker and getting the ball in these guys' hands. The Browns are more suited to put together 12, 13-play drives because of the way that they play football.
That's
and the
right.
way Stefanski values being in third and short situations. Now we're getting into football. Like when you get to this point, it's not just about the talent. It's not just about the guys that we're looking at on the roster. It's styles make fights. And the Cleveland Browns has a style that gives the Chiefs more problems than most teams. Last year, we saw the Las Vegas Raiders just go toe-to-toe, deep ball after deep ball, and you beat the Chiefs that way. That's a slippery slope because we know what happened last time. The Browns can bludgeon you, and they can keep Pat Mahomes off the field.
Yeah, the Raiders didn't go the 20-12 route.
No, they didn't.
Trying to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Right. So let me put this up there. The AFC, fascinating, absolutely loaded as a conference top to bottom. Give me an X factor. Give me a player who you think is an X factor based upon which direction it goes this year. Jeff Saturday, I'll start with you.
Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts. He's talking about the Titans. Titans don't play any defense, bro. Offensive, they're loaded. Think about Carson Wentz and this football team. They are loaded on an offensive line, and their defensive front seven is absolutely legitimate. So when you're talking about a team that can push, they may win the AFC South. And by the way, they should have beat the beautiful Bills last year in the playoff if they don't miss a field goal. So don't slip on this. If Carson Wentz plays well, this is going to be a team that will be discussed.
All right, that's perhaps no coincidence. That's Jeff Saturday's team. Jeff Darlington, who's the X factor in the AFC?
Tua Tagovailoa. And look, I think this is a situation. We talk about the AFC East, and suddenly because of Mac Jones, we think that the Patriots now will resume their standing as the top dog. I mean, we've got the Bills obviously fighting for supremacy in the AFC East, but I believe that the Dolphins roster is built to win right now. If, and this is a monster if, the quarterback becomes their franchise guy. So much on the line with Tua in the AFC East, and as a result, also the AFC in general.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. Swaggoo, who's the X factor?
Julio Jones. And listen, that's why I don't think Jeff is far-fetched. What he's talking about, Tennessee potentially being in that conversation for a Super Bowl, where it really boils down to how great Ryan Tannehill has been playing and how good Derrick Henry is out of the backfield. Now you got to try to figure out how we going to match up with Julio and A.J. Brown, two big physical receivers that will kill you in the red zone. So I look forward to seeing Julio back healthy, and we know a healthy Julio is the best receiver in the game.
Absolutely. And they – yes, I'm with you. And they were in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. But I'm going to commit going back to the beginning of the conversation. I will say Baker Mayfield, because I do believe the Browns are built to beat Kansas City in all the ways that we talked about. The question is, does he take one more step forward? Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield went from being a question mark to being a good quarterback last year. If he takes the next step from being a good quarterback to being a great quarterback this year, I think the Browns are as good as anyone,
no
inclusive
doubt.
Of anyone in either conference. Does Baker Mayfield take a step forward? If so, I think they have an excellent chance to win the Super Bowl. So that's what I say. Now let's find out what Swaggoo says. What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It has been 2 years since we've done this in person. What a delight. An in-studio edition of Swaggoo Says. Oh, you're stealing my dance move. Anyway, this is where we will hear from people around the world of football and beyond, and Swaggoo will tell you what they really mean. We'll start with the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott the other day talking about potentially not having guard Zach Martin in week one. Here's what he said.
I mean, yeah, Zach's the best player in the offense. He Most runs, they coming back behind him. I mean, it's disappointing, but you can't harp on it. Can't let it be more than what it is. We're definitely gonna miss him. Definitely wish he was out there, but we still have a game to go play, and we gotta go try to get the job done.
All right, so that's what he said. What does Swag Who say?
Zeke is saying, y'all, I'm nervous as hell. Listen, I done lost my best offensive lineman. I'm a big fan of a show called Naked and Afraid. This is like being in the middle of the jungle or the Sahara, and you don't have a boma to keep them damn lions off of you. And this is the problem, and that's what Zeke was trying to express to y'all. But his issue is, I don't have my boma to protect me, and that's Zach Martin.
What is the name of the show?
Naked and Afraid. They just throw you in the middle of nowhere. You need a boma to keep all of the animals off of you.
Right, you'll explain that to me later.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Next up is Tampa Bay, where wide receiver Mike Evans is very optimistic about his offense. Listen.
We're miles ahead of where we were last year. Not just me and his connection, but the whole team, the whole offense. I mean, it's really exciting, and hopefully we can do something really special this year.
All right, so that's what he said. What does Swag Who say?
Swag Who says, gee, where the hell is miles ahead of winning the Super Bowl? Where you go after that? That's what Mike Evans said. Mike Evans knows that I was going to be on this show and they play the Cowboys, so he wanted to jump in on your joke about blowouts. That's what Mike Evans was doing. So he's telling y'all, we're miles ahead. Be very afraid. Be very afraid. We got a 44-year-old guy that's already been miles ahead for people for the last 21 years, and now we all are miles ahead too. So we're going to win the Super Bowl, except I don't think so.
Yeah, we will see about that. All right, one more, and this is the one I've been waiting for, because this is Matt Nagy, coach of the Bears, once again commenting on the Bears quarterback room. This is what he said.
Andy has come in here from the start and been a great leader and been a great teammate, and being able to take this thing, this offense, and get us going, right? And he understands that. But when you talk about the future of this franchise and the quarterback that we have, that's where I'm at peace in my heart, knowing what Justin has done and what he's exemplified in this short time. I feel really, really good about that.
All right, so that's what he said. What does Swag Who say?
Y'all, I hope like hell Andy Dalton can play just for a couple weeks until I can get this young rookie in the game. But my peace of mind revolves around the fact that at least we drafted a franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears, even though I won't be here in the future. So best of luck to you, Matt Nagy. I felt your sentiments in that presser, bro.
All right, so yesterday, I want to sort of pick up this thought for a second. Because yesterday I upset Swag Who greatly. You made a face I've never even seen, even you make yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was based, you sort of did this thing here.
Yeah.
Because I made the comment that if Justin Fields isn't ready to start week one, again, if he's ready to start, then by all means he should start.
You gonna say it again?
If he isn't ready to start, Swag Who, he shouldn't be the backup. They shouldn't put him out there. The era of Justin Fields shouldn't start because Andy Dalton twists his ankle.
Yeah.
Nick Foles is on the roster. If Andy Dalton gets hurt week one by Aaron Donald, they should go to Nick Foles next. What do you think?
I think you should stop dreaming and lying to people. And here's the thing. So this is what I asked you yesterday. Is Justin Fields the third string quarterback that you traded away all this stuff? Like him not, this is why I don't understand not being ready. Because you go with Andy Dalton, and to your point, if Andy Dalton gets injured and you bring in Nick Foles, you telling everybody that Justin Fields is basically your practice squad quarterback. That's a damn shame.
For the moment, that's what he is. If he's
I don't
not
care about the moment. I care about winning games.
But he's not ready to win games. If he's ready to win games, then he should be starting.
I know more than Matt Nagy. He ready to win games.
Well, that would be the bottom line. Because Nagy is telling us he can't. Jeff Darlington, is there anything else we need to know?
I just love, Greeny, what you're doing right here. And Swaggle, you know what he's doing. He's playing the attorney. He's stoking the fire. He's trying to smoke out the truth right now. He knows that Justin Fields is ready to be in that game.
You.
And he wants me to sit here and say that there is a behind-the-scenes thing going on with Andy Dalton where they basically promised him the week one job and that he needs to go in there and do his thing and then
That's
they'll go to
is.
Justin Fields. That's what he wants. And that might be true. Look, all I know right now is that It is very clear to me since day one when Andy Dalton signed with the Bears that they were committed to making him the week one starting quarterback. Nothing, not even the performances of Justin Fields, has changed that. But we all know where this is headed, and this is headed with Justin Fields as the starting quarterback in short order as soon as Andy Dalton gets that commitment to him to get a shot as the starter.
Jeff Dalton, it should be Nick Foles. Nick Foles should come in if something don't go well. If Andy Dalton don't play well, it should be Nick Foles next. Right, man, you crazy.
Justin Fields should start when Justin Fields is ready to play, and nothing else should have any impact on when Justin Fields plays.
I keep telling you that Justin Fields should have responsibility for being ready to play. But Matt Nagy, the day after the draft, responsibility was to get Justin Fields ready to play. Mm-hmm. So it's just, this is my point. If I'm coming to your show, G,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
and you bringing me into your show to be a star, right?
Yeah.
And then you tell me, well, I don't think you're ready to take the stage yet, so I'm gonna let some other analysts start the show. And then if that analyst sucked, G, and you send them back to the green room and you don't call me, you got a problem. Because you lied about what you told me. What the Chicago Bears told Justin Fields when they traded up to get him is that you're our quarterback. You're on a fast track to take over this franchise. You know why they drafted him? Even after getting Andy Dalton, it's because he's better than Andy Dalton and Nick Foles. It's Matt Nagy's job. Matt Nagy's job from the time he drafted Justin Fields to today was to have Justin Fields ready to start week one. That was his job because he knew the talent lended itself to being better at that position. But you go ahead. You with Matt Nagy. You need to jump in the same damn boat with Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
And y'all go with Nick Foles and Andy Dalton and me and Justin Fields to chill out and watch the Bears lose.
Perfect. All right, so we agree. I'm right. As we continue in just a moment here, Marcus Spears is fired up, as you can tell, for the start of the NFL season. Man. He's got more to do. He's going to give you the five things you absolutely need to be paying attention to headed into week one. Don't miss the fundamental list. Next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and today Swagoo brings us the fundamental list, and it is the five things that he, Marcus Spears, is most excited to see week one of this NFL season. Yeah. Take it away.
Five going to start off real petty, G. Andy Dalton. Okay, listen, this is one of the situations that has frustrated me for an entire offseason and even up until the draft. So everybody said, especially Matt Nagy, has said this is the best situation. Andy is the starter. Well, we going to see, damn it. I'm excited to see it, not for the best reasons, okay? Fourth, I'm going Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold plays the Jets. And you...
Yes, I'm well aware of this.
Okay,
one.
Yeah. All right. But now he's in Carolina with Joe Brady. And we talked about competence, G, with this New York Jets coaching staff. Now you go to Carolina with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. You have Christian McCaffrey back. Robbie Anderson just signed this deal. This offensive line was reinforced and bolstered. Now we find out if Sam Darnold is a really good football player or mm-hmm. not. I think he's in a good situation. You knew I wouldn't put any validity to that situation he was in New York. All right, three for me. Guy I just talked about, Christian McCaffrey. We seem to forget in this quarterback running back conversation that this dude was the best of them all a couple years ago. And when you think about what he is going to do for this offense with Joe Brady, not having him last year for a majority of the season really limited what this offense could do. And Teddy Bridgewater and that Carolina Panthers team were in a lot of games in the fourth quarter last year. This is a sneaky good football team. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to know. So having CMC back, if he's back to form, Sam Darnold has a weapon to help him look like a better quarterback. The second thing I'm most excited about seeing is the Dallas Cowboys revamp defense with Dan Quinn. I don't know what the hell gonna happen, G. All I do know is they gonna know what they doing, okay? And this is a conversation I've been screaming about since we've been having this Dallas Cowboy conversation. When you play in the NFL and you don't know what the hell you're doing, because Mike Nolan don't know what he doing, you gonna give up 1,000 yards a game. So at least I know these guys will be lined up with a great understanding of what their responsibilities are. Then you find out if they can actually play. And if they can't play, if we can't hold up blocks, if we can't get off blocks and make tackles in the run game, if our linebackers aren't free to hit the ball carrier, we just suck anyway from a man standpoint. I don't believe that to be the case. I think they're going to be tremendously better because they're going to know what the hell they're doing, G. Okay, number one for me, this is one of the unsung stories about the offseason. It's Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is back. I said this 2 years ago on this show. Jameis Winston needs a year to watch football without the pressure of playing football. And all of the fruits that we've seen so far in the preseason proves that him and Sean Payton has a rapport enough to change him and morph him into a really good quarterback. It's only about the turnovers. That's it, because elite is what Jameis Winston is if he takes care of the football. He said it, I don't need to be Batman all the time. Sometimes I need to take a check down. Sometimes I need to throw the ball out of bounds. G, that's all I want to see from Jameis Winston. The first third and six, the first third and 15, is he going to force it or is he going to say, I'm going to let Cam Jordan and these guys come out here and get me the ball back in order to try to get another drive and end the possession with a kick? If Jameis Winston does that, New Orleans is a lot further ahead than we think they are.
I'm with you completely. I love everything about the list. I was the last man standing on the Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston Hill, the Cowboys defense, McCaffrey fantasy. Darnold, I totally agree, but I will say this. That's next level. Putting Andy Dalton on this list is next level passive-aggressive behavior. Aaron Rodgers is watching going, man, I can't believe how passive-aggressive that was.
Good, I don't
that
care.
That was super passive-aggressive, and I'm here for it.
Yes,
absolutely here
you
for
know
it.
Me, I'm petty sometimes.
All right, let me take a quick break. Huge hour is coming up. The news out of Dallas keeps getting worse as they prepare for Thursday night. What must they do to avoid an opening night disaster? We've got that next.
Sorry.